friends and folks, and welcome to the Johto Quorum. We have assembled once again to rain judgment down upon the world of Pokemon, and this time we're taking it to the theater. The other day I was like, hey, Detective Pikachu's out. I don't want to see that. And I was like, oh, wait, I run a Pokemon podcast. Hey, Alan, I think we have to see Detective Pikachu.
Honestly, I had the same... Hi, I'm Alan, by the way. I had the same reaction where I was like, yeah, that's great that this movie's out. Like, it's probably fine. Maybe I'll see it on, like, Netflix. Oh, I have to see it immediately. Oh, whoops. We kind of boxed ourselves into a corner there, didn't we?
Right. We really did. But to make up for our initial lack of enthusiasm, we recruited a guest. Hello, Jennifer from Scanline Media.
Hey there. Glad to come in and do some... I'm not too familiar with baseball terms.
Detective work.
That baseball. Works, yeah.
Pitch hitting.
Yeah, pitch hitting. That's what I meant.
Designated runner.
Fuck the Dodgers.
Substitution. Bullpen. Fuck the Dodgers. Yes, that one.
But yeah, I ended up watching... I ended up going to a theater to watch Detective Pikachu of my own volition with my girlfriend, Kyrie. And after that, we kind of thought, oh, hey, maybe... one of us could do a podcast about this, so here I am.
You know, the thing about podcasts is that no one listens to podcasts unless they really want to. You know, it's not like they're... you don't have, like, captive audiences for podcasts, right?
And if you do, it takes a very long time. Yes.
So the way you said you saw it of your own volition, if this is a cry for help, you can just say it.
Just hold up a sign.
This is a safe space.
No, everything's fine. I'm good with this.
Send the police.
Pokemon Detective Pikachu, the 2019 film, released May 10th, 2019 in the United States, is technically a pseudo-adaptation of the 2016 3DS video game Detective Pikachu. It's not, though?
It's not, though.
It is a name in that there is a Pikachu who is a detective who hangs out with a boy in a place called Rhyme City. That's it. None of us have played the game, is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, I've just watched the Giant Bomb quick look.
Yeah, it seems fine. I always was kind of interested in it, and then I was like, I'll just see the film and gauge my interest. And... you know, I went into this film with pretty mixed expectations because it's Legendary Pictures and it's CG Pokemon, and the trailers I'd seen were like, oh man, this Pikachu's fuzzy, and like Ryan Reynolds is not a good choice for like a gritty detective, and this is probably gonna be dumb and weird, and it is. I'll come in right now and say that, but I was so charmed by this film's go-getter attitude and willingness to just do the weird thing and be a little bit dark when it has to and be a little bit funny when it has to. I was really impressed by that. I think it's so messy, though, but it has a lot of really memorable moments.
Yeah, it despite all of the way that they positioned the trailer was, oh, hey, check out all these Pokemon we've realistically recreated in this CG fashion in the city. And for the most part, that stuff is there. It's just all in the background, but it's happening at such a constant pace that it never really lets up. But it's not really the main thrust of the action. The action, for like the first two-thirds of it, is more or less what you'd expect, and then you find out what the actual big plot is, and everything starts going batshit.
Six, I'm curious, where did you end up landing with Detective Pikachu, the film?
I don't know, it was fine.
Yeah.
I was pretty thoroughly, like... I don't like going to the theater, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I also don't like movies very much. I like the theater less than I like movies. And ultimately, it was like, okay. I kind of just walked out just sort of being like, I guess, you know, I watched that. And, you know, I guess I didn't get bored. But, like, I didn't really care that much about the movie, to be honest.
Right. I think the parts that are memorable, like, there are definitely moments that I'm just going to remember for a very long time. And this is probably where we should draw the line and say, if you're listening to this, because usually with the Quorum, we don't have any reason to put up a spoiler warning, but I guess we're going to talk about Detective Pikachu, the film, in somewhat detail. So if you haven't seen it and you don't want to know anything about it, I actually do recommend that you just check it out blind. because there are things about it that none of the trailers talked about that are really interesting. But if you don't care, we're just going to talk about the film as a film. Couple of scenes that I really loved, because this is a detective film. This kid, just to kind of give a brief overview, Tim Goodman, he's 21. He works in insurance. Who amongst us can't relate? He hates his dad because his dad left to be a cop, a detective in Rhyme City, which is a city in the Pokemon world. This exists, like, I guess, pseudo-canonically in the same Pokemon world the games and the anime exist in, where instead of capturing Pokemon, the person who founded the city made it so that people will just walk around with their Pokemon and live with them and treat them like their partners instead of, you know, using them to battle. So there's no battling in here, and everyone keeps their Pokemon out and about. Tim comes to the city because he finds out that his dad was killed on duty, and he goes about solving the mystery. And when he goes to his dad's apartment, he finds a Pikachu that is a detective, and they solve a murder. So that's kind of the setup. They do a lot with the detective. Like, it's like a, I'd say it's like a young adult noir is where the sort of like genre of this lands. Cause it is serious. Like, they do talk about killing and, you know, hiding evidence and like faking death and that kind of stuff, like any other detective story does. But it's also not, there's no like blood. Like, it really toes the line weirdly from with how dark it gets.
Yeah, you hear Ryan Reynolds making a lot of weird sex jokes every now and then as Detective Pikachu. Like, there's a moment where he's going back to the apartment with Tim, and he's like, "Well, I never thought I'd be this kind of Pokemon." And it's this awkward moment, like, are they really putting this line in there? But, yeah, for the most part, even when they go to an underground ring where actual Pokemon battles are happening, they don't show anyone getting too roughed up beyond some fur getting dirty and the place itself getting trashed.
Worth mentioning, though, that scene is so weird because the guy who's running it is like a cartoon character who's hot, who's playing it up more than anyone else in the movie. He's so much. And it's like weird because it's like he's just doing like a funny accent, funny jacket kind of character. That's his whole shtick. And he's not important to the plot, but he's just, like, chewing scenery. Like, hey, you gotta protect my jacket. My Charizard's gonna fuck you up, kid.
It's weird because I feel like there's a lot of parts where this movie is kind of tonally all over the place.
Yeah.
Where, like, I mean, the sequence with the giant Torterra garden.
Yeah.
It's like doesn't feel like this film. Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bizarre. I don't, like, I genuinely don't even know why that's in the movie except for spectacle, and I guess for Pikachu to get injured, but there would be other ways to do that. It's just a really weird sequence that's just, like, surprisingly long, and, like, I feel like the, you know, the solution R or whatever whole thing is, like, It's weirdly darker than basically everything else that's going on, which is just like, oh, we basically have to give Pokemon rabies. And it's like, wait, why? That doesn't, like, they say, like, oh, Mewtwo can, you know, merge people as long as they have rabies. It's like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Like, why? Just because?
Also, why does Mewtwo's, like, if it was like Mewtwo can fuse people if they have Mewtwo's DNA in them, which is already what's happening, that would make sense. Because it's like, oh, he's got power over his own genes or something. I don't fucking know. It's Mewtwo.
Yeah.
But that's not even, they're just like, oh, no, Mewtwo's blood makes people crazy and he can fuse crazy people. It's like, this doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's also something that gets disproven by the thing that gets revealed at the very end. Because I don't remember Mewtwo's blood entering either Pikachu or, spoilers, Ryan Reynolds at any point in the story.
There were definitely a couple moments where, because I went to this by myself, I saw it in 3D, which, hey guys, you don't need to see this film in 3D, and probably don't need to see any film in 3D. It's overpriced, and everything looks dark and muddy, and you don't even notice it, seriously. But there were a couple moments where, because I was seeing it by myself, I felt okay, like, gasping and stuff, because I was, like, mostly by myself, even, there weren't that many people around me in the theater, and The movie opening on a basically shot-for-shot remake of the opening of Pokemon the first movie really threw me for a loop, where Mewtwo breaks out of the, like, orb and, like, basically kills a bunch of scientists. I was like, is this the thing nobody's talking about? Is that this is, like, a backdoor remake of Pokemon the first movie? I mean, it's super not. I don't think what they do with Mewtwo is even that good. It's way, especially because we just watched that movie, and it's, like, the way they handle them in that is fantastic. And in this, it's just like, he's a friendly psychic with too much power who hates humans, but also wants to save his friend.
Well, but also the other thing is, I kind of appreciate, well, there are two things. One, I love Mewtwo.
Yeah, of course.
I'm glad to see Mewtwo. And I think their rendition of Mewtwo looks pretty good, for given how I feel like their CG Pokemon thing is a little hit and miss for me personally. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the other thing is, like, okay, so Mewtwo is, like, they sort of, like, you know, they do a little misdirection and try and make him think he's a bad guy. Obviously, we didn't fall for it because, you know, we know Pokemon. Mewtwo's cool.
We're experts.
But also, it's like, oh, no, yeah, Mewtwo totally did, like, just kill a bunch of scientists straight up. And it's yep. just like, no, that's fine. They were shitty. It's mm-hmm. like, great!
Okay.
It's never a moment where you're like, but, like, you shouldn't have done that, Mewtwo. It's like, no, fuck those guys. Mm-hmm. I did appreciate that.
Yeah, the Mewtwo stuff and the way that they kind of slide it in, it's weird because it's the beginning and then it's the end of the film. Mewtwo is, like, not relevant to any of the middle of the film until it's kind of, like, it opens up. The middle of the film is basically Tim and Detective Pikachu becoming best friends kind of really fast, if you ask me. Like, there, it seems like Tim is just really shitty to Pikachu for a while because he doesn't like Pokemon because they took his dad's time away. And then there's literally just a moment where they're sitting outside on a park bench and he's like, yeah, I'm shitty to you, Pikachu. And he's like, yeah, you are. And he's like, do you want to be best friends and like basically die for each other? And they're like, yeah, okay. They just kind of agree that that's going to work. I know they obviously like have adventures before that and it's a conclusion to stuff, but it felt very like it is now time for me to allow you to sit on my shoulder so we can have those action shots.
That said, in a big, like big budget, you know, AAA, you know, summer blockbuster movie, I really appreciate a moment where a character's like, hey, I've been really shitty and I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's great. Like,
thank you.
Especially a male character. You don't get a lot of, like, men talking about their feelings and stuff like this, which is good. I thought the guy who played Tim was pretty good. I felt less good about Lucy, his sort of plucky girl sidekick character. It's more that she's just not written that well. Like, she is, there are parts where she is, there's definitely, like, her working on her own, their relationship not being, like, explicitly romantic until the end when it super is, the way that she's not, like, beholden to his whole stuff is all great, and her outfit changes throughout the film are really fun to watch. She goes from, like, cartoonish intern to, like, Pokemon Go-ass Pokemon trainer in the middle. And then by the end, when she steals that, like, red dress from the other news reporter, she has, like, evolved, in a way, if you will, into her, like, fullest, coolest form, which I thought was good.
Yeah, the thing for me is that, except for Tim, almost every single character in this movie is a living cartoon. Like,
yeah.
Even the human beings are constantly smirking at the camera or have ridiculous one-liners or heavily affected British accents to the point where one of the reveals, which is kind of funny, is they kept thinking that Bill Nighy's brother is causing a lot of this stuff to happen because he's showing up everywhere in sunglasses and this doofus grin that is very entertaining, and you realize, oh no, that's because a literal CG creature was piloting him the whole time, or at least camouflaged as him.
Yeah, it was his son. Not
but
his,
I was gonna say, there's a whole thing because the only reason I remember it's his son is because they literally have the like, and the villain has a shitty dad too moment. You're like, okay, guys, but the son is good in both cases. And the dad,
except for when it comes to acting, because I'm gonna come down on saying that every human in this is boring and bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a film that succeeds on performances.
Boom!
Wow, nuclear. I'm nuclear. That's you. Honestly, there's a lot of it where the fun is just, look at these CG Pokemon. Isn't this cool? Like, all of the panning shots through the city at night are only cool because you're like, whoa, there's a Caterpie on the floor, and everything is, like, scaled pretty accurately, and there's a Machamp, like, lifting some luggage, and there's a Slack. There's constantly Slacking sleeping in every shot. It's very funny.
Yeah, and there's that opening. Oh, it's not the opening shot because the opening is the car crash, but the shot immediately after that, it fades into a field, and you immediately see little Pidgeys flying in the background, and you're like, oh, yeah. Okay, here's what we're in for.
Right. I feel like my eyes got used to it after a while, and that might just be because, like, you're watching the movie, you get bought into it after a certain point, but, like, looking back, I can't... This is a film that it's hard. You have to get over the hump. I guess it's an uncanny valley of sorts of seeing these Pokemon rendered in CG. Mm-hmm. I kind of did eventually, but it's still, like, certain ones felt really weird. Like, Bulbasaur, it's more like the cries being so different was throwing me off. All the Bulbasaurs sound like babies. Psyduck is the biggest difference, though. The Psyduck in this does not sound like anime Psyduck at all, which is fine. I mean, that doesn't play as well in this version of Psyduck, with this version of Psyduck, but... You know, there's a lot you have to get over when you're looking at them in this rendering.
To be honest, I've always thought that the Pokemon cries were in the anime were kind of like dumb and lazy.
I know that.
So I actually generally liked these ones better because it felt like they had like specific personality. As far as the CG, I do want to specifically shout out the Greninja.
Yeah, the tongue just like lapping around.
And, like, the texture on the skin and stuff, like, generally throughout a lot of the movie, even pretty far into it, I was like, I really just am not into the way these Pokemon look. And I saw Greninja, and I was like, okay.
Yeah,
I'm kind of down this, like, really genuinely frog-ass frog.
There's a part when he's in the, like, marketplace, and he's like, can anybody hear this Pikachu talk? And there's just a Greninja in line, like, facing away from the camera, and it just, like... kind of shuffles its tongue scarf like to the side, and it was so realistic it like gave me chills. It's just a background shot, but I was like, someone worked really hard to make that Greninja look like a person. That's fantastic. Yeah, I shout out to that for sure.
And the one scene with the Ludicolo still cracks me up.
That's a good example of the cry being better than the anime, because instead of just being beholden to like they must sound like this, they're like, no. In our world, this Ludicolo is just gonna scream. Its name Ludicolo, fucking at this cafe. It's just gonna go Ludicolo, which is great. I think so. My two favorite moments, my two like gasping laughing moments, are obviously the Mr. Mime interrogation, which is so good. It's very funny. There's a point where they find a Mr. Mime that they think is related to a suspect, and they bring it to this warehouse and they do the classic good cop bad cop thing. But since it's Mr. Mime, it doesn't talk. It just mimes. And, like, it gets on a little fake bike. And then Pikachu very quickly is like, no, we can't tell it to, like, we can't make it work in our world. We have to join its world and assume that its miming is real. So, like, we'll walk in front of it and make a wall. And its car is going to crash, quote unquote. And then we're going to go and take it and pour fake gasoline on it and pretend to burn it alive. I was dying. It's so good. That's like straight improv stuff too, so that's why I have a soft spot for that kind of humor.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, I know.
But sorry.
I don't have to apologize.
I had to say it.
There's that part, and then so I'm curious if you liked the Ditto stuff.
I appreciated it, I guess. I appreciated them doing stuff with Ditto. It didn't ever strike me as like funny, but like when they first had the first moment with the Ditto where the Ditto turned into like basically like a stagehand, I was like, okay, that's cute. That's a good thing. And then the reveal with the Ditto later on, it's like, oh, okay, that's clever. But that was basically the extent of my reaction.
Right. They do a couple of like double triple crosses where you're like, is Bill Nye's character the bad guy, and is this woman with the pink gloves like she's working for the bad guy, but actually he's good, but actually she's not even a person, she's a Ditto. And then you can't really have Ditto in a movie like this without breaking some rules, because it's like it can transform into anything. And so the only time they play with that is in the ending, where he's like on the side of the building and it's like turning into everything all at once really fast because it's got the purple gas power.
Yep. Well, I mean, the explanation they give is that it's been, like, genetically enhanced or whatever, because, like, a regular Ditto can only turn into what's opposed to it. right?
Yes.
It mirrors people. So, like, the fact that it's transforming into things that aren't present, I guess, is just the genetic modification, whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel like my biggest problem with this movie is that it feels like there are two movies in here. Mm-hmm. There's sort of like there's the Mewtwo stuff on either end, and then there's a completely unrelated movie in the middle. And to think of it another way, it feels like they knew how they wanted it to start and they knew how they wanted it to end. They had no idea what was going to happen in the middle.
Right. It definitely meanders. Even though it's not a long film, it feels like the middle is just kind of waffling and meandering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mentioned the whole garden scene from earlier, and that scene just ends. That, like, you're seeing all the sorts of environmental damage, and then they just settle back into their spots, and it's like the fight never happened.
Oh, the Torterra scene?
Yeah.
Right. That is such a just, we had some budget, let's do a big disaster movie thing. That is one of the first of many times that Tim, like, makes a huge jump across a massive cavern and doesn't break his legs, which I'm always bothered by in these kinds of films. It's just not worth getting, you know, huffed about, but yeah, none of that.
So his mom was a fighting type.
All right. Thank you, Six.
You also have the thing where the police captain appears in the very beginning, and they make some, like, the other characters make some vague allusion to the police being in on Bonai's side as well, and then he just disappears until the very end of the film.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's this, like, oh, he's got everyone under his control. You know, he runs the whole city, and it's like, well, that's weird, because no one seems to be going along with anything he's doing.
Exactly.
I don't know. The movie kind of feels like, especially the plot, just feels like a mess. I don't know. Like, I am not a Ryan Reynolds fan, but I enjoyed his performance as Pikachu quite a bit. I think he did a very good job of that. And I don't know, it was just kind of fun seeing this alternate interpretation of Pokemon, this alternate vision of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know that there was a lot for, like, as a movie, I don't know that there was a lot there that I was impressed by.
Yeah, it's kind of just spectacle-y. It's just like, hey, check this out. Look, there's this CG Pokemon, and it's a plot that basically just gets you to the next, like, big Pokemon showcase.
Mm-hmm.
And they use Mewtwo as a connecting thread, and it kind of, like, ends weirdly. I think the reveal, first of all, two things about the back end. I think the reveal that Ryan Reynolds' soul is in the Detective Pikachu temporarily, and then at the end of the film, Pikachu becomes a normal Pokemon again, and then, like, real ass, scraggly ass, hair graying Ryan Reynolds comes out, and he's like, "What's up? I'm your dad." And they don't even bat an eyelash. They do it with no effort. It's so weird.
Yeah, the part where they're like, Mewtwo's, like, there's sort of the flashback where Mewtwo's like, oh, if you bring me the sun, I can restore everything. It's like, okay, where the fuck did his body come from? He died.
He got out what of are the you thing talking and then it blew about? Up, right.
It's just like, did you store his body in there? Mewtwo!
Mewtwo, sir, hello.
What'd you do?
Pikachu's body acted like one of those Pokecenter incubators where you just throw someone in there, and after a little bit of time, they're all good.
And speaking of, like, we're not going to CinemaSins this, absolutely not, but if you want to, like, really dig into this movie not having consistent rules, Detective Pikachu tells Tim at one point, like, you can talk to any Pokemon, really, if you know what, it can read your feelings. So you can communicate with your feelings, and then that just pays off so that when Pikachu, like, dies but doesn't really die, and Tim's just in the forest and he sees some Bulbasaur and he's like, he needs healing Pokemon! He needs Pokemon healers! Get some heals! We don't need this much DPS! Get out of here with that! And then they don't listen, and then they come back and he's like, wow, you brought... Oh, you brought Mewtwo! Oh, fuck you guys, actually! That's like me trying to talk to a dog, and I'm like, can I have a snack? And then they give me, like, a dead tree. Like, good, thank you.
Man, yeah, how dare you treat Mewtwo like that? A dead tree.
Listen, I didn't ask for Mewtwo. If you want Mewtwo, then, like, put it on the menu and tell
what
me
what
if
Mewtwo
it is.
Asked for you, you piece of shit?
He did ask for the sun, that's true. I was the one who
did. Yeah, there's... the way that this is constructed almost feels like one of those 3 to 5 minute short films you'd see on Vimeo, where you'd have the CG artists flexing their muscles and being like, this is what Pokemon would be like in real life, down to the Pokedex style smartphone that Tim has, and
that's all a the great references. Point.
It's like that plus a College Humor skit. Like, it should have ended with Tim going, like, his dad's like, well, there's still a lot of criminals out there in the city, and Tim goes, gotta catch them all. Nah. Like, it's just... I don't know. There was some good stuff on College... I enjoyed College Humor in my time, but we also all know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do a barrel roll. Like, yep. Come on.
Yeah. Very, like, basic level humor, but sometimes they got... Because they got, like, hired comedians for that, so sometimes College Humor stuff was, like, decent. The other thing is, and I don't know how much any of us are able to speak to this, but it's worth talking about. There have been some criticisms lobbed at the villain's motivation in this movie as being kind of ableist. Specifically the idea that, like, the human body is worthless and we might as well throw this out. I haven't read a lot about this. I definitely did see this morning when I was trying to, like, look up some stuff. What did you think about the whole villain's reveal that he, like, wants to fuse people with their Pokemon?
I mean, that's not... I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard the ableist argument, and I'd be happy to hear it. From my point of view, as a person who thinks bodies suck shit, that's just transhumanist.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And as someone who was mostly awestruck at this whole plan being a thing, like, I could see that argument more if it was a situation where it was only getting him into the Mewtwo body, but the way that he's like, now everyone in this city is going to be a Pokemon, felt very much like some wild AO3 fanfic that somehow made its way into a multi-million dollar film. But
right, there's like 15 seconds there where the girl, everyone, and Lucy is in her Psyduck. And you're like, oh, this is weird. This is really weird. And then they, like, immediately get back out of that. You're like, no, that's not. The from what I understand, the argument is like, so Howard Clifford, the Bill Nye character, the villain of the film, the reason he wanted to fuse with Mewtwo's body was because he became wheelchair bound after an accident. And so he felt like he wasn't able to live his full life in a wheelchair. And he says, well, if Pokemon can evolve into the best version of themselves, why can't I have that? And I don't want to be confined to a wheelchair anymore. So, like, I get that from being like, oh, being in a wheelchair, worst thing possible. Like, how dare I? And also, like, everybody has to be fixed, not just me.
Well, and there are two things I would say. One is, I mean, if he was like, okay, now I'm fused and I'm going to go and make all the people in the hospital fuse, it'd be like, whoa. But he does do everyone. And then the other thing is also, like, I mean, hey... I think it would be ableist if he was, like, obviously being, you know, like, in this state is just naturally bad and everyone who's in this state is bad. He doesn't say that, though. He says, like, I can't stand this. And, like, hey, that's valid. He reacts to it how he reacts to it, right? When I broke my leg, and I know this is not a great comparison, but, like, when I broke my leg, I was like, hey, I wish my leg wasn't broken anymore. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be a larger judgment about the condition. It can just be like, this isn't going great for me.
Right. Many disabled people that I know personally have expressed like, yeah, it would be great if I could be abled. And disability is similar to gender, where it's kind of a spectrum. You know, it's not a thing you are or aren't. But there's also like a moment where he falls out of the wheelchair and he's like, oh, shit, I'm useless. And that definitely like hurts as someone who knows people who are in that kind of condition. And him feeling like he's useless, but I do think that's the point. So people saying that's ableist is kind of difficult because it's like, he's the villain. He's not right for being like that, for being mad that his condition is like that. And the argument that you evolve out of disability is also very, very fraught and historically, you know, has been reflected in history, you know? People saying like, we can fix disability. That's fucked up. That's where I can start to feel it being an issue, but it's ultimately not a huge part of the film, even though it's the villain's motivation.
Now here's the part where I make the best version of this movie. Are you ready?
Yeah, give me this remake.
the new version of this movie is that the villain's like, the problem is I created Rhyme City so that people and Pokemon would live in harmony, and it works sort of okay, but like, people still think they're better than Pokemon, so I'm going to turn everyone into a Pokemon. I'm not going to trap them in theirs. I'm going to make everyone a clone of theirs. I'm going to drop the asteroid. Oh, it's me, Char.
He pulls off his face.
I'm here to fix the world. If you can't learn empathy for Pokemon, you will all be Pokemon, and everyone will get along. Fuck you.
The Federation of the Bad Guys. Jen, wait.
Getting the robot Tim?
Oh, God. Yeah, I walked into that. Jen, what did you think about these sort of ideas? Did any of this cross your mind when you were watching the film? Were there any things about it that you didn't like that much thematically?
In terms of the ideas the movie is throwing out, I did feel like it was a little bit silly to have him go, okay, I've created a holodeck in my penthouse because it's literally impossible for me to go anywhere. And that's, having also known a few disabled people, that's not really true. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's one of those situations where other people who I've these same people who I've learned a lot about disability from also don't like this part of the movie. So
right.
I definitely see where they're coming from on some aspect. Even if at the time I was distracted by the fact that I felt like I was suddenly in an archive of our own movie.
Oh yeah. That's such a good comparison. And the like Vimeo realistic Pokemon thing. Why do they make so many of those? Why is that such a universally understood thing? It's so weird. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I understand them being a thing because it's an easy thing to point at as a portfolio to be like, okay, I can do this. Now hire me for a movie or game project. But yeah, right. It would definitely help if, like, I heard that one of the main CG artists in this movie was someone who is already doing Pokemon but real projects, and they just like, okay, yeah, let's bring you on board. So
toss them on there. Yeah, you're right. You are right. Closing thoughts. If you're going to call the chemical R, just put Team Rocket in the movie, you fucking cowards. Just give me Jesse
right?
and James. Like, do it.
That's, yeah.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that. You're so right.
The R looked really like the Team Rocket font.
Yeah.
I just want to see Jesse's like gigantic hair. in live action. This is apparently getting a sequel. It's doing extremely well. Legendary was like, yeah, we're doing another one. Of course we are.
Yeah. And that bit in the credits was really great where they were rattling off the actors and they had them drawn in that classic 2D Pokemon style. I was way into
that.
Yeah,
it did look really good.
The Satoshi Tajiri like original art style. Yeah, it's great. Good. You like my pronunciation six? Did you like it?
It was good.
Oh, thank
you.
It's funny that you mentioned that they're working on a sequel because 2 days after the film came out, I saw an article headline that was like, Detective Pikachu doesn't have any post-credit sequences. What does this say about its potential as a franchise?
It's probably done. It's probably... that's a shame.
It doesn't even make me sad. Like, yeah, Endgame's in the news still. It's fine. But, like, have we really been that trained by Disney and Marvel that, like, every film that has a sequel needs to, like, set up the sequel? I already had, like, 5 jokes in every other Discord I was in that where people were like, I like the part where Pikachu was asked to join the Avengers. Ah! And then they all melted in a fire.
Great.
Yeah.
That's a good end. You know, I didn't think that story would end that well.
But, yeah, it has a happy ending, right? Yeah, you love it. You love to see it. Yeah, love the big Apom. Love Psyduck. The Psyduck thing is dumb. It's just because you know it's gonna happen the minute they introduce Psyduck, where it's like, oh, we have to play massage music, and he. I love that she just has a tiny car. By the way, Lucy for no reason has a tiny car other than for them to be like, oh god, it's really tight in here.
But she's an intern; she can't afford a.
She can't afford a big car. That's so true.
Yeah. Also, most of the game Pokemon cars are also small, tiny things.
That's a good point.
The thing, see, I didn't see it coming because the way they described it earlier, they're like, that thing's like a bomb, explodes, right. We all die. And so I was like, oh, they're not going to have it happen because it would just be like a shower of bloody chunks and they're not going to show that in this movie.
For kids,
I was like,
right.
Oh no, it's just a psychic wave? Why did you hype this up so much?
I was so excited that they were going to take the Torterra stuff because Pikachu says like, oh, this might be just like psychic aftermath from Psyduck exploding. But when they see the land like fold upwards, that was so, I mean, it's like Inception did that. They're just doing that like corny thing where the land folds upwards. Mm-hmm. I really wanted that to be like a psychedelic sequence where they're having hallucinations. And then it was just real Torterra walking around. And I was like, oh, this is the dumbest part of the whole movie.
Yeah. Turns far. Out.
Yeah, I really liked Psyduck, especially as someone who has been having a lot of anxiety issues lately. It felt like a small bit of representation in a weird way.
We've said it before on the quorum. Psyduck is one of the best examples of representation in Pokemon. That's us.
So I guess I was gonna save this till after the podcast, but while there was a long talk where I wasn't involved, I made a picture that I'll put in the show notes. No. I guess.
Oh no. Wow.
it's Howard and Tim as Ashar and Amuro wrestling.
I'm about to do something wicked, Tim Goodman. He's 21. I just love that this kid is like the beginning of the film, by the way, after the car crash, is Tim being in his hometown and he's sad because he doesn't have a partner in Pokemon because he hates Pokemon. And his best friend, who's this, like, extremely shitty kid, who's just like, you're lonely, Tim. You need friends. Except I'm your friend, but I'm going to move out. So you need more friends, and you need a Pokemon. Let's catch this Cubone. And the Cubone just, like, kicks his ass. And it does the classic, like, three shakes, and then he pops out of the ball thing. It doesn't seem like the stakes are that high, though. The Cubone just, like, hits him with the bone, and he's like, ow. And then he runs away. There's no, like, stakes to it. It's very strange. It's the only time. It's literally just there because someone was like, you have to show a Pokeball in this movie. You have to. Someone's going to be mad if you don't see a Pokeball, even though we don't have any capturing in the main plot.
Yeah, because then immediately they're like, let's go to a city where capturing's illegal.
Exactly.
It's like, all right. I mean, that's fine, but like, why did we even...
Okay. What was the point of that?
Oh, how good would it be if Team Rocket was using that as a excuse to do this underground... Like, this underground... catching crime spree, and they got into a car chase with a van that Team God. Rocket was driving.
I mean, this is what the sequel has to be, right, guys? Like, right?
Hopefully.
Maybe Team Rocket.
That's what it should be, but no. It's not what it has to be. Never underestimate Hollywood's ability to make this just a mediocre remake of another fucking MCU movie.
Hey, now. Well, okay. First of all, thank you. I've completely lost. You were so salty that you like evaporated me. I was water and I'm now nothing. I think the sequel should involve Team Rocket. Legendary Pictures is also working on the live action Gundam film next. Who the fuck knows how that's going to be? Probably bad.
I can't wait to see the Zaku with fur.
On the eyeball, just on the eyeball. Gross. Super gross.
Does somebody own this Zaku? And then Zaku licks him.
Damn. God, Legendary Pictures, though. They've done some weird stuff. The Jurassic World movies. The Kong movies. They do, like, CG bullshit. The Great Wall. All right, bye. Cancel. Cancelados. Bye-bye. Get the fuck out of here. I would love to see this in Japanese. That must be a weird adventure, too,
you
right?
You mean, like, dubbed?
Yeah. Because I think they have like some famous relatively famous Japanese actors. Hidetoshi Nishijima is playing Detective Pikachu. And that's what I always remember from the game, was the Japanese version of the game has like a great voice cast. So maybe I should just watch that or play that. But yeah, I think that's all I got for Detective Pikachu, folks.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember what I was going to say. The sequel, they should just go down the role of the original movies and have the second one involve Lugia and three weird orbs, and Tim has to become a hero and collect these orbs and fix the weather. That would be actually
That's the power
great.
Of one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The power of one, Ryan Reynolds.
It should open with a dude in his fucking gigantic airship shooting guns at Pokemon.
In live action, that'd be so sick. Are you kidding? That'd be the dopest thing in the world. Whoa.
It's like, fucking, you just see this like bolt action, like recoilless rifle on the side of the fucking,
like a hyper real fur Moltres just gets speared through the chest, like it's blood, but it's like fire blood.
A Machop is just loading shells.
It's a living.
Christ. Also, how do they make a sequel if Pikachu's not a detective anymore? What?
I mean, do you want me to make the Twitter joke?
Yes.
District Attorney Eevee.
But is it like Pokemon Detective Pikachu 2, or is it just another live action Pokemon film separate from Detective Pikachu? I'd prefer the latter. I mean,
Pokemon has enough power to like, you can have a new Pokemon movie. And
yeah,
people
right.
People will go see it.
Yeah, that's true. Just tell me that we did it. We fucked up. I paid too much to see this in 3D, so you know how it is.
I do. Well, no, actually, I don't. I haven't gone to see a 3D movie in a very long time.
Don't.
But no, it gives me a headache. Mm-hmm. I hate it.
Me too, yep. Especially because I wear glasses, so I have to wear double glasses.
Yep.
Love it. You'll love to see it. Anyways.
Well, I think that's probably it for us here on the Quorum. I think we have come to a quorum, which is, this movie could have been better, but, you know, there are worse ways to spend your time.
Definitely. If this was on Netflix streaming and you were bored on a Saturday, absolutely, just throw it on. Enjoy the dumb CG Pokemon. Don't pay attention to the plot. It's fun.
This is, you know, I have seen one other movie in theaters this year.
Uh-huh.
Which is already more than I usually see in a year.
Uh-huh.
And I'm afraid to say this is the second best movie of the year.
Oh, what was the first? Can I ask?
Broly.
Wow. Wow, we did it, everyone. We got six to admit that the Broly movie's good. Wow, we did it.
It's all right. I have it on Blu-ray. I watched it again because I was talking with a good friend, Crass, on Twitter. And Crass was like, hey, I got Broly, and I watched it again, and it's great. And I was like, oh, did a second viewing change your mind? And they were like, no, it was always great. And I was like, oh, I don't agree, but I bought it anyway. And I watched it, I was like, okay. I mean, like, with lowered expectation and just kind of chilling at home, this is a fun movie.
Yeah.
It turns out movies are much more fun, typically, when you get to watch them at home, instead of paying $15 to sit in a theater where you can't pause and you can't have any food that you've cooked yourself.
Can't. Well, it's also one of those things where I feel like, ironically, the sort of like the movies that are like the cinema blockbuster type movies are the ones that are the worst suited for being the only thing you can pay attention to.
Yeah.
Right?
Those like, movies I would much rather just have on and do other things for.
Exactly. Because like, if it's the only thing you're paying attention to, you're going to be like, hang on. Why exactly do all the Pokemon have to have rabies? But, like, if it's just chilling while you're playing some Final Fantasy, it's a good time, I bet.
That's how I watched Ant-Man 2, you know? So,
yeah.
It's a good time. It's also just weird, since we're still talking, seeing a film by yourself. Because whenever you go with people, it's like, all right, are we all here together? How are we splitting the ticket? Did anybody want snacks? What seat are you in? And it's like, it's such a whole process. But when I went by myself, it was like, I bought my ticket in advance. They let me in. I sat down. I didn't buy anything. I got out and I went home. It's like so good.
Yep. That's how we do movies. I was sitting pretty darn close to the front in the middle, like nice seat. It was a nice theater. And I just sat forward and leaned and like propped my chin up with one hand and just sat that way for the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
I will say it was nice to go while they were still giving out Pokemon cards, because I was in a situation where right out in front of the theater while we were waiting to be let in, there was a wide range of age groups, including a couple of people who were in their 40s or 50s, hadn't heard of Pokemon before. They weren't even going with their kids, and they were being like, oh, look at this card I got. And
aww,
it was so good.
That's sweet. Yeah, big age range for this movie, definitely. I had, like, a lot of talkers, but not, nothing, like, obnoxious. And I had, like, a good, yeah, a good split with people.
All right, well, any other closing thoughts for us here?
Give me Team Rocket or die, you cowards. Pikachu with fur is weird.
I like the movie, and also I can't stop thinking about that Ditto.
I don't feel bad punching the girl I have a crush on if in this beady-eyed version of her or whatever. That's a terrible line, by the way. I'm joking about it. It's a badly written line. It's basically just when the Ditto transforms to look like Lucy but has Ditto eyes, and he just like explains what he's looking at. You're like, this is a lot of words for like a big action scene, but yeah, Ditto's great.
Yeah.
Also, it's not a great like fight scene. I mean, you know, that's fine that Tim is, you know, a great fighter, mm-hmm. but also that this Ditto just sort of stands there and like character select screen idle animation waiting for Tim to finish talking.
Yep.
It's kind of
bit goofy.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna kick it here to our plug zone. Jennifer, you are a guest. Why don't you go first?
Well, most of my stuff is also on Scanline Media, but I do that podcast with Six called Oops All Anime. You can find it on the Scanline Media Patreon at patreon.com/scanlinemedia. We're going to be recording the next Novel Not New episode on Why Am I Dead at Sea fairly soon, and that's going to be over on Abnormal Mapping. And and also we'll have more Ultimate Despair reprise fairly soon.
I love it. I was telling Jen recently, I was playing Final Fantasy 14, and there was a person in one of my parties who was named after a Danganronpa character, and I messaged them like, oh, but you're a Danganronpa fan, and they were like, they like quoted a line that character says, but like had a bunch of typos, and then they were like, oops, sorry. I was like, very charming. It felt in character, even though I've never played those games and probably never will. No offense to Jen.
It's all good.
Yeah. Who has the time, truly? Anyways.
I've been playing GTA Online. Apparently I have the time.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I tried to create, they're like, you could create a company. And so I tried to create a company called Scamline Media because I thought I was very funny.
Yeah, you are.
And it was like, that's an illegal name. I was like, are you serious?
You said you're an illegal name to them.
I was unhappy. It's scam. Like, who cares?
Like stealing.
You have people running around named like Big Titty 69. Why do you care about the word scam? Ugh. Which is obviously the sister of Tekashi 69. Alan, where can people find your stuff?
Well, I'm actually on two other podcasts currently. One is Fireside Friends, which is a monthly show that I host with my friends Ryan and Katie. It's recently come back. We're actually winding up to do our second episode of this comeback very soon. I don't think we've formally announced it, so I'll just mention that we're going to be reading the comic book Lumberjanes this month.
Yes!
Which is a very queer, very good, sort of like fantasy camp comic. It's great. You should read it and then check back on that feed very soon. We'll have the episode up. I'm
Why
also
no Lumber Joe's?
Yeah, what about Lumber Joe's? Am I right? You realize?
what about Lumber Joe's History Month?
Yeah, seriously, please. And then I'm also on Chats, a television podcast, which is a weekly show I do with my friend Magellan, where we watch television shows. And we have a Patreon also. It's patreon.com/chatspod. CHATZPOD. Check our show out. It's fun.
Okay. And if you liked the little samples of me being a shit, my Twitter is @6.mar. I'm a shit on there sometimes. Mm-hmm. Also, hey, if you want to see my fighting game stuff, it's got its own feed now. It's just @fight6. Because I realized my feed was just going to be at least 50% that stuff. And I should make it a separate thing. So I did that. So you can just check that out if you care about that. And if you don't, you don't have to. You can just get, like, official Six content. Like, me being angry at video game politics. And me being angry about other things. Me making bad puns. Yeah, and everything else you already know.
Delicious.
So, peace.
See ya.
Alan?
This is a game for kids, so let's be adults.
There it is.